Here we go.
Michigan at the 41. What a hit! Ball's free! On the ground! South Carolina deserves to have it!
Cloudy just says, I'll take care of business right here. I'll come off the ball and rock you and get it right back for our offense.
22nd and 10 for Fields. Fields to throw it. Pump fake. Sacks. Fires. Touchdown, Garrett Wilson.
Now Burrow going to launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Touchdown, LSU!
Snaps with the whole
lock!
The kick is
good!
The kick is good! The Mountaineers are going to try to take it
back! Lead
to the Big Al!
That's on the Big Al!
20, 50,
ah! 10!
The Mountaineers are going to beat the Michigan Wolverines!
This is Menace to Picks.
All right, welcome to the next episode of the Menace to Picks podcast. Football season in full effect now. Our soccer picks have been killing. Patreon.com/Menace2Picks at Menace2Picks on Instagram and Twitter. We're loaded for today's podcast. We want to look forward to what we have this week. Last week was a little bit awkward. We crushed our weekday picks. We went nuclear. We were up almost 300 units during the week, and then our football picks bombed a little bit. Not proud of what happened over the weekend. However, handicapping sports will humble you quickly. Just when you think that you're feeling great, some crazy shit is right around the corner, like the Chiefs fumbling the game away, like the Seahawks blowing a 2-touchdown lead. But you know what? That's all right. We were still up for the week. And I think as football starts to make a little bit more sense here in week 3, week 4, there's some money to be made. Right here on the Menace 2 Picks podcast today, we have our CEO of Menace 2 Sports, our head honcho at Coach Zach Smith on Twitter. Zach is in here. Coach Zach is with us today on the podcast, as well as our West Coast capper, who's been hot and gave away some great NFL picks last week. So, Coach Zach, we have you on here. Let's talk about this college football slate. Big Ten, what are some games that you're excited about in the Big Ten?
Well, you know what? I think the two big games – if you want to call them big games, but definitely Wisconsin has got a huge game that against Notre Dame. It's going to be telling, right? It's going to tell you a lot about Wisconsin and Notre Dame, because Notre Dame, I mean, they're very, very easily could be 0-3 right now. They should have started off 0-2, and they're literally just, I mean, they're a play or two away or a referee or two away from losing one of those first two games. And I think Wisconsin has a lot to prove. I mean, they're one of the best defenses in the Big Ten, and it's going to be a good matchup. And the other one it's going to be interesting to see is Greg Schiano has the Fighting Scarlet Knights playing at a pretty high level for Rutgers, as far as Rutgers is concerned. And they go into Michigan, who's completely unproven. They beat two MAC teams and a Washington team that lost to Montana. So there's a lot of hype up in Ann Arbor right now, but it's kind of false bravado, you know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see what Greg Schiano can do with Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines.
Right, so let's talk about this Notre Dame-Wisconsin game. That's a great game, and initially, if you look at it, it's going to appear like that's a home game for Wisconsin, but it's going to be played in Chicago. So neutral site here, and the Badgers are favored by about 6 points against the 3-0 Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who you thought were a little bit of a fraudulent 3-0. So let's start West Coast Capper here, and then we'll come back to Coach Zach. West Coast Capper, how are you feeling about the Wisconsin Badgers? They have their former quarterback, Jack Cohn, is now the quarterback for Notre Dame. Is this a game that you like Wisconsin to win, or is this a game that Notre Dame might be able to pull off an upset?
I believe I agree with Coach Zach, and I believe that Wisconsin will cover those points, and Notre Dame, I think this is a huge game, more for Notre Dame. To see what they're really made of going to Wisconsin. I don't think that's going to fare well, and I think Wisconsin will cover those points easily.
Yeah, so, yeah, as we said, it is a neutral site game, but either way, a huge matchup, and I'm in agreement there with our West Coast capper. And if he sounds a little bit muffled, he is on his way to Vegas right now is what I heard. So, Coach Zach, what are your thoughts here about the Wisconsin Badgers?
Well, you know, I think after 3 weeks in the season, you kind of would look at Wisconsin and say, well, why in the world would you let Jack Cohn go for Graham Mertz? Because Jack Cohn has pretty much outplayed him through three games. Now, that being said, Notre Dame has had success the past 2 years riding the best offensive line in college football. And all of those guys are gone. And I talked about it preseason. I mean, that's what they've relied on offensively. They don't have great skill. I like Kevin Austin. He's a big target. Kyron Williams is a decent back, but he's also had the benefit of having just massive gaping holes in his career up until this year. So I think they're fraudulent. Kyle Hamilton's one of the best defensive players in the country. And he really, I mean, he's made some plays that has made Notre Dame's defense look a lot better than it is. So I love Wisconsin. I think Notre Dame kind of gets exposed in this game, and you're going to learn a lot about Brian Kelly's team on Saturday.
And if you follow our picks, you know that, you know, almost every day we have some sort of money line parlay writing up. We're looking for reliable favorites. And to me, in this spot, Wisconsin's a reliable favorite. I also think they're going to cover small play, but my bigger play would be a money line parlay. And we'll hop ahead actually a little bit later in the show to the Texas A&M game. But Texas A&M is also a reliable favorite for me. I'm not exactly sure the way you guys are going to go, but right now I'm looking at Wisconsin to win at noon and then Texas A&M to beat Arkansas at that. I believe that game's at Dallas Cowboys Stadium on Saturday. So that's kind of where my mind's at as far as Wisconsin just being reliable. So let's talk Michigan. They're a 20-point favorite over 3-0 Rutgers. Rutgers has played no one. Michigan's played no one. And both teams are undefeated, 20-point favorite. Michigan's averaging 47 points a game, and Rutgers is averaging 41 a game, yet the over-under is only 50. So 20-point favorite. Coach Zach, I'll give you this one to yourself here. Michigan, are they bona fide 20-point favorite? Do you like them here? And what are your thoughts on that over-under?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I like the over for sure. And I think, like you said, it's tough because both are somewhat unknowns. I don't think Michigan is a 20-point favorite over Rutgers by any means. I could see Michigan winning this game by 10 points. And I could also see Rutgers playing a close game. I mean, Rutgers has improved, like much improved since Shiano's gotten there. So I'd be hesitant to say that Michigan could beat anyone by three touchdowns right now, especially because we don't really know what they are. They've played three really bad teams. And so I would be inclined to take Rutgers plus the points, and I think the over hits. I mean, I don't think either team has a great defense. And the one thing Michigan has done, albeit against lesser opponents, is they've shown some explosion on offense. So I could see it. I could see a lot of points on Saturday in that game.
So I am looking at that. So if you played those two together, which is something I like to do, so you got Rutgers with 20 points, and the over-under is 50. So if you take Rutgers and the over, you need Rutgers to score 15 points, essentially 15 points for your bet to be safe. Yeah. If they can get to 15, you're either going to hit your over or they're going to cover the spread.
Yeah.
So, but my problem with that is that scares me a little bit. Both teams have been putting up big points, and the over-under is only 50. It'll be one of the lowest of these marquee games. I mean, that's an NFL, kind of NFL over-under at 50. You know, college game between two pretty good teams, usually 55, 60 points for an over-under. So I think these are both kind of tough lines, 20 points. And I just don't know how much I know about either of those teams just yet. So check Patreon. Come back to Patreon for that one, as we'll continue to break that down throughout the week. Next game lined up is Texas A&M as a favorite, 6-point favorite against Arkansas, who's 3-0, kind of a surprising 3-0. Coach Zach, what do you have for us on that one?
Yeah, see, I love Arkansas. And now I'll kind of fast forward. I think Texas A&M is going to win the game. So I agree with you. I think that's Texas A&M has one of the best defenses in college football. Statistically, right now, they have the best defense in college football. But Arkansas is intriguing. They have two backs that average over 8 yards a carry. Sam Pittman has an element of toughness in Arkansas now that you lost with Chad Morris and his basketball on grass nonsense. And I really like Arkansas and the team they're building. I don't think they're ready for A&M. I actually think A&M's the best team in the West. And I don't even know if it's going to be close because how Bama's defense is playing this year. So I love Bama in the game. I think I love A&M in the game. I think they pull it out. But I don't want to short sight the fact that Arkansas is a much improved football team from where they were 2 years ago. And I think it's going to be a battle, and you're going to learn a lot about A&M in that game.
So West Coast Capper, I brought up the idea of this money line parlay between a reliable favorite in Wisconsin and then a team that I know you think is pretty good, as well as Coach Zach just mentioning, Texas A&M. Is that a money line parlay when you get to Vegas that you're going to fire?
I like it. If I get there in time, you know, see how long it takes me to get to Vegas in the next couple of days. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But I really like that parlay. And I like Texas A&M. I like Jimbo Fisher. I think if you took this game 2 years ago, it wouldn't even be a game that we would probably pay a lot of attention to, maybe. But it looks to me like A&M will cover those points because it's 5.5 right now. I think they'll cover that. But I think it's a good parlay play too.
Any comment on the Michigan? I know I left that one to Coach Zach, but on Michigan and Rutgers, any comment?
Michigan, look, I couldn't agree with Zach more. Michigan's team appears to be much more explosive this year, you know, down the field and, you know, big plays. And they just look to have a little different vibe, a little different look offensively. That's a cleaner look. And so, you know, I think Michigan's a very dangerous team this year. I don't like 20-point games like this. Rutgers, as he said, is so much improved. They're so much better than they have been the last couple of years. They're really good. And, you know, this is a tough game for them, of course, but I don't know if they're 20 points better.
Yeah, and then my question about that, whenever I look at an 18 to 20-point spread, I'm always thinking, is the underdog going to have the ball driving down the field with a minute 30 left? And the defense is like, are they going to sub in their third string now? Does it really matter? You know what I mean? So is this a backdoor game? I'm just not sure. So the last college football game we'll talk about is the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I got people on Twitter that that are laughing at this spread of Ohio State being favored by 7 touchdowns. They're a 50-point favorite over Akron. And, you know, me and Coach Zach talk about this a lot. Handicapping and analysis can be different. You know, handicapping has a lot to do with looking at a number that's going to be something hidden inside of, you know, what you won't see at the surface of just watching a football game. So, for example, when you see a number that's ridiculous, like 50 points, and Ohio State hasn't even scored 50 points in a game yet, if I'm not mistaken, and they've needed some defensive scores to kind of, you know, get their numbers up. But I'm looking at it, and to me, this is an infinity lock, almost a lock of the month for me that Ohio State wins by that, just because, and I'll let West Coast Capper start here, when you see that line and you see Ohio State not even playing well, but they're favored by 50, what is that telling you as a veteran handicapper?
That tells me just stay away from the game. Ohio State is going to try to smash them, put all those numbers up so the whole country can see it. And I just stay away from games because, you know, the other team is certainly going to try to slow the game down. And like you say, at the end of the game, Ohio State might have everybody and their brother playing in different lines on offense and defense. I don't like it.
All right, Coach Zach.
You know, it's tough. I mean, they're so much better than Akron. Akron is, believe it or not, so much worse than Tulsa. So it's a plausible thing that they would cover, but I don't trust CJ Stroud. And not only that, but he's either soft or he's hurt right now. And either one isn't good, especially in a game like this where he might not bring his best performance. And the defense, I mean, they're not going to have any problem manhandling this Akron team, so I don't see Akron scoring many points. But I do get concerned if these are the starters that Ohio State's going to roll on the field. What does that second string look like? Because in a game like this, those guys need game experience. They're going to play, and is that going to turn into a shit show where they're just, you know, Akron ends up scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter against the second, third string because they have to be bad. because the first string is average at best.
Yeah, I mean, I have my opinions on Ohio State, and people, you know, claim I'm a Buckeye homer. Maybe I could be sportsbook joker, but I look at them, and I do give them some excuses. I think they've played a pretty good schedule. I think Minnesota's pretty good. I think that was a pretty decent win. Minnesota's since followed up by winning both of their games, and you know, they were covering in half against Miami of Ohio. Ended up, you know, Miami Ohio kind of stormed back to make the game look close at the end, and then Minnesota goes on the road and blanks Colorado. Oregon looks like a bona fide team that could win the Pac-12. They've probably looked like the best team in the Pac-12, and then you play Tulsa, who is a kind of a weird 0-3, but you know, Tulsa is not a bad team. They're well coached. They have good quarterback play and some veteran receivers out there. So Ohio State has not had Michigan's schedule with three home games against two MAC teams and a really bad Washington. Are we in agreement with that? So they haven't had the luxury of this walkover game, which Akron is going to be. Thoughts on that, Coach?
No, it's absolutely true. I just get more concerned with things that are not opponent related, you know, like linebackers that are in confusion and coverage and mental errors and hit the wrong gaps and things like that, that it doesn't matter if you're going against bags, like that's just bad. And then CJ Stroud missing open receivers without pressure in his face, like things that are not opponent related just concern me. I mean, they're going to run the ball for a million yards. And I think that's going to be kind of their mentality, which with the running back situation they have in Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson, that's not any less explosive than a passing offense, especially against an opponent like this. So will they get better from week three to week four? Sure, absolutely. Will they still have mental breakdowns, and will the twos be proficient or sufficient enough to keep the spread where it's at? I'm not confident that they can do that.
Yeah, so what you're saying right now is, you know, your hard-earned money, you're not ready to put it on a team that hasn't proven much yet in Ohio State.
Right, and if it is a good game for Ohio State, I'm terrified at what their backups look like because I'm watching their starters and it's not a good deal. And so what does that second string look like?
Yeah, my thoughts on Tulsa, the Tulsa game, was that what I kept seeing is Ohio State would go play action. Every time I thought they were going to go play action, you know, they'd cross the 50. And it's classic Ryan Day, like, okay, let's take a deep shot here on 1st and 10. And Tulsa was like, we're not letting that happen. Anything but that. We actually had texted early in the week, like, if we were putting in defensive plans to stop Ohio State, it would be whatever happens, number 5 and number 2 are not going to kill us.
Yeah,
we'll make somebody else. And that's what they did, and it was to the tune of 300 yards. So going back, if Ohio State decided they were going to run the ball every single play like a high school team, they probably could have ran for 500 yards or more.
Without a doubt. And, I mean, you look at it, like, I think the best pick you had all weekend, which didn't hit, was the team total over because you missed it by, what, 2-3 points, and they played pathetic on offense outside of Travion Henderson. So, that should have hit, and I'm still salty about it.
Right. Well, Coach Zach, family man, I know you're hopping out, going to take some kids to softball practice, do some different things like that. You've been breaking down the games all week per usual, getting your podcast ready. Tailgate coming up this weekend again.
Tailgate again this weekend, trying to get it done. It's I don't know, it's a fickle time right now in Columbus. People aren't going to the games, and I mean, our tailgate was well attended for Oregon, but we'll see how it is at Akron, because these fans up here don't even want to go to the game.
Right. So we appreciate you coming on. I'll let you hop off. And West Coast Capper, myself, we're going to break down the NFL here in just a few.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, fellas.
Yes, sir. All right. West Coast Capper. Here we are. Let's take a look at NFL here. We have some huge games. I mean, this slate is monstrous. So let's keep our breakdown. Just our picks are going to be on Patreon all week for these. But let's just keep our picks to 30 seconds to a minute here. We'll kind of play rapid fire with this. Give all me right. your thoughts as you're looking at this. Let's start AFC North. The Bengals, huge game. Now, here they are. They opened up as a 4.5-point underdog at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh let us down last week, and they flat out got beat by the Raiders. The Raiders are coming off short week traveling across the country. They go into Heinz Field, and they take care of business against Pittsburgh. Now Pittsburgh opens as a 4.5-point favorite. The Bengals have been bet down to only a 3.5-point dog now. 30-second gut reaction, gut thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who've somewhat owned the Bengals.
Yeah, I understand the spread. I understand the spread's changing and the numbers changing in favor of the Bengals. And to be honest with you, Pittsburgh looked feeble. They did not look crisp at all, and a lot of it had to do with the quarterback. And I feel bad about that, but I'm still going to take the Pittsburgh in the 3.5 in that game, just because of the history of the game. I generally take streaks, so but that's an interesting game.
This would be an awkward loss for Pittsburgh, yeah. Losing two in a row at home, and one of them is against the Cincinnati Bengals with a chance to stay on top of the division.
Right.
Is this a game? I just don't know. I've been kind of not sold on the Bengals yet. They went up and they mostly laid an egg against the Bears. The Bears had their backs against the wall and basically sold out to get to 500 in week two. Yes. Whereas I can understand the Bengals mentality there a little bit. And we did not play the Bengals this week, and we're 2-0 on our Bengals picks. We did not play them in week two. And here I am, and I'm not too excited about playing them against the Steelers. Even though last time these teams played, the Bengals flat out kicked the Steelers' ass on Monday Night Football, which was rare. Juju Smith, this was a game he got laid out by Von Bell. There's going to be some bad blood in this game per usual. But a common denominator looking back at this matchup is the Steelers own them, and it's a team they're comfortable playing against. Why is Cincinnati getting bet? I mean, it's – something's fishy about it, and we're going to have to break it down throughout the week. The Browns, 7.5-point, now only a 7-point favorite over the 1-1 Chicago Bears. The Browns lost on the road at Kansas City. They came back, took care of business against upstart Houston. They got a win, no cover, against the Texans. And now here they are against what looks like possibly Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that's a good game. Good game to watch, but I think Cleveland will cover that, and Chicago's. I think they're improving a little bit, and the weeks here. I think we're going to watch a lot of games closely here in the next couple of weeks. Kind of like Major League Baseball. After the All-Star break, it's a lot easier, and I think after this week, it'll be a lot easier to pick some of these games. But I think Cleveland's playing well, and I think they'll win this one.
Why is Cleveland? What's going on with their defense? Kansas City was almost scoring at will on them, and then the Texans come in and put up 14, 17 points early in the game. Does that concern you at all?
I think it's still early, but those two teams are maybe two of the better teams in the NFL. So I don't. If we're basing it on that, I don't know. I don't think Chicago's either one of those teams.
No. So here we go. Let's take a look at the Dallas Cowboys. We'll hop ahead to Monday Night Football as we're looking. I'm just looking down the slate alphabetically here. Dallas Cowboys are a 3.5-point home favorite against the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams 1-1 here. My hot take or my analysis of the Cowboys is this is a game that they've lost for the last 2 or 3 years. These big-time spotlight games, the Cowboys have let their fans down. Are they going to get over that hump? Are they going to beat a division rival here in Philadelphia?
They'll win the game. I think they will not cover, possibly. So they will win the game. I think Dallas is actually pretty good. They just do some dumb stuff, and they have some crazy errors late in the games. And I don't know, like the clock situation this past week with McCartney. I just don't know. But I think they'll cover or will not cover. I think it'll be a 3-point game.
Yeah, this is one that, sometimes will the game be decided by exactly 3 points can be a prop bet. Might be intriguing here. Philadelphia's going to be ready too. Philadelphia went on the road and kicked Atlanta's ass week one, came back home and, lost a weird game. Week two, a low-scoring game to San Francisco.
A lot of weird games this past week.
Yeah, for sure. Jalen Hurts, a big chance for Philadelphia, right, to kind of say, wait a second, right.
Hurts, gotta love his success. He's kind of easy to root for.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's been a guy that, whatever, got taken out of the game, national championship, everybody assumed he sucks. Now he's in the NFL and he's not bad.
He's not bad at all.
So, a couple more games to look at here. A pick'em game. You don't see a ton of pick'ems in the NFL, but here we are with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2-0. They're coming off an easy win this weekend. They're going out to 2-0 Los Angeles Rams at SoFi. Pick'em game. Tampa Bay, one thing I've seen from Tom Brady in his career is occasionally he doesn't even care to lose a regular season game, so it makes him sometimes hard to handicap. Because sometimes he'll just decide, screw this game. Let's win next week. What are your thoughts on Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Los Angeles Rams out on your part of the country on the West Coast?
I don't really understand the pick 'em. You know, the 2-0 Super Bowl champions smacking people, and now they're a pick 'em at the Rams, who's had to fight, you know, for victories. So I would take Tampa Bay in that game, and I think they're just going to keep it rolling.
Yeah, Brady put out like a tweet or a video where he was talking about being excited. You know, he is a California kind of guy. I just don't know. I don't like betting against Brady, but I think the Rams could be good. This one might be a true pick 'em. It might be a game where one of the teams is winning by 2 points at the end of the game and the other team is kicking a 55-yard field goal. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I could see that. Or I could see, you know, a situation where, you know, one team gets picked off late in the game and all of a sudden the team you thought was going to win is now going to lose.
That's what's kind of happened in the last week or so.
Yeah, that's the NFL. That's why we start out the show with, if you think you're a hotshot handicapper, you'll get humbled pretty soon because shit will happen. It's kind of Murphy's Law. Whatever can happen will happen.
Clyde
Edwards-Helaire just fumbles the game away. He pulled a Jeremy Hill against Pittsburgh and just fumbled randomly. And all of a sudden, instead of covering, they go down and lose the game straight up by a point. There was three games this weekend. They were decided by a single point. I'm wondering how often that happens.
Probably not very often at all.
I think the last game to look at here is Baltimore. Since we've covered the AFC North, we want to continue with the AFC North. And Baltimore, let's find them. So they are – they're at the Lions, 8.5-point favorite. Not that exciting of a game. The Lions were good early in the game against Green Bay. Then they got blown out. And then the game before that, they were terrible in the first half, and they came back. I think the Lions are – that means they're bad. When you got – you're hoping, are they going to put two halves together? I'm not sure. Baltimore has been kind of banged up, but pulling some, you know – kind of inconsistencies, but they pulled the last game just out of nowhere. Weird line. I don't really know what to make of it. Baltimore, they're not going to lose to the Lions, are they?
No. Baltimore has new life with new guys, and they had all those injuries and all these guys that got signed in the last 2 weeks are killing it. So that was a great, great win for them. And to be honest with you, I think that just gave them new life. So I see them to go in there and cover.
Yeah, and we could go all day. We could go throughout this entire NFL slate of games. We're not going to do that. Check Patreon. We had Coach Zach Smith on earlier breaking down college football. We had our West Coast capper out on the West Coast, possibly on his way to Vegas to play that Moneyline parlay, which we gave away for free. The Wisconsin Badgers are not going to lose to Notre Dame and Jack Cohn. And Texas A&M is going to show the nation that they are a legit contender from the national landscape. Patreon.com/Menace2Picks, at Menace2Picks on Instagram and Twitter. West Coast Capper, we appreciate you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the windows.
And here we go.
Michigan at the 41. What a hit! Ball's free on the ground. South Carolina deserves to have it.
Cloudy just says, I'll take care of business right here. I'll come off the ball and rock you and get it right back for our offense.
22nd and 10 for Fields. Fields to throw it. Pump fake. Sacks. Fires. Touchdown, Garrett Wilson.
Now Burrow going to launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Touchdown, LSU.
This is Menace to Picks.